Everybody Googles everything, especially potential customers or employers, and a business or personal online reputation can make or break you. If negative search results or reviews are impacting you, Webmax is here to help. Our proven process restores your online reputation quickly and effectively, and it matters. Don't let negative results control your narrative. Visit GoWebmax.com and fill out a brief confidential form to see how we can help. Remember, if you aren't paying attention to your online reputation, someone else is. GoWebmax.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Cardinals Update podcast presented by me, Cardinals Update, you know, or Jesus, or Duke, whatever you want to call me. And basically what we're going to be talking about is just what Gannon said in his post-game presser, what Kyler said. You know, this is the last post-game presser that we're going to have this season. And then just a recap of the game, you know, what went right, what went wrong, and just overall what to look forward to. So yeah, just hopping straight into it. Gannon's presser, he was a little more optimistic about it, about everything, and just about the team going forward. He said, you know, one of the main things he started off with is saying that good things are on the horizon, and he's very enthused about next season. And it just, he just gave a lot of compliments to the team as a whole. He said the team mentality in the locker room and on the field never wavered, you know, throughout this the difficult season. You know, he came in and you already knew that Kyler was going to be out for at least the first four games. You know, there was some hype about him coming back for week one, but most likely he was going to miss at least the first four games. And after that, just seeing where he comes back, where he is in the rehab. And then, you know, going throughout the whole offseason with Colt McCoy as a quarterback, you know, him throwing some practices, throwing not him being just a lot older, and then having Josh Dobbs come in like 2 weeks before the season started. And then just as a whole, just having a lot of ups and downs in terms of injuries and just playing a lot of difficult teams. I mean, even though we did have a fourth place schedule again this past year, but just playing against the Niners twice a season in our division, same thing with the Rams, same thing with the Seahawks. And then we played the AFC North, you know, you put the Browns, the Ravens, the Bengals when they still had Joe Burrow early in the season, and just so many different, the Steelers too are a tough team, and just so many different teams that you played, especially when Kyler came back too. I think we had the hardest strength of schedule to finish off the season. It was somewhere around like a point like 600 or something crazy like that. So just having a difficult season like how we had this season, like I said, in terms of injuries, you know, even week one, a lot of defense alignment went down with just season-ending injuries. You know, you had someone like an LJ Collier who you thought was going to break out with Gannon, and, you know, him being a former first-round pick of the Seahawks, you thought he was going to be able to break out and maybe have, you know, find a home here for the next couple of years. But he got hurt. You know, you want to see what happens. Maybe next year he comes back on another one-year deal, and you could see what you have with him. But, yeah, and Buda Baker got hurt early. James Conner went on IR in the middle of season two, and just a lot of things. And Hollywood Brown was never really – he was never really healthy outside of the first couple of games of the season. So having such a difficult season, just all in all, was, I think, tough for Gannon, the coaching staff, and just the team as a whole. But, you know, when Kyler got back, at first started great, then you're kind of a little wobbly here and there. But overall, you finish, I think he won three, four games out of the final eight. So he went, you know, damn near close to 500 football with a below average roster. And, you know, you just have a lot of hope for the 2024 season and beyond, thinking if you're able to, you know, get some guys on defense and offense, you're going to be a lot better. So he was also asked, you know, talking about that. He was asked about the evaluation of Kyler Murray and his 8 games back, you know, coming back week 10 and then just finishing up the game off against Seahawks this past weekend. He said Kyler is one of the reasons why he's enthused about next year. And yeah, he's basically kept the same. He's kept the same message and mentality throughout the whole thing that, you know, when he first got the job here, he said Kyler was one of the main reasons why he did come to Arizona. And he said not many, you know, head coaching opportunities come up when you already have a franchise quarterback, and that's something that you don't have to think about. And just obviously Kyler was hurt. He didn't have him for the whole season. He only had him for half the season, but, you know, you're going to have him for more for 2024 and beyond. You know, no matter what happens, if you, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, you're going to drop the quarterback regardless, or a lot of people wanted to get maybe a Caleb Williams or a Drake May, or maybe even like a Jaden Daniels or a Michael Penix. But a lot of these guys, I think coming into the draft, you just hope that some of these guys turn out to be maybe a bigger Kyler Murray. And that's pretty much it. Just because Kyler Murray, and, you know, in my eyes, I think he's one of the most athletic quarterbacks that you have in the NFL. He may not be the fastest quarterback, but just because you have guys like Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson who are just amazing athletes, but he's quick enough inside the pocket to make plays happen whenever anything breaks down. You know, I think that's something that you have to have, especially in just modern NFL, someone that's able to be quick enough to just make a few guys miss, and if the play isn't there, he's able to make something happen. He's fast enough to get down the field. If he does, you know, break out of some containment, he's able to get a few yards, and he's always looking to slide. He's never going to be one of those guys like a Josh Allen or who takes a lot of contact and is like, that's the reason why he gets injured a lot. You know, whenever you see him out running in the open field, he always slides well before anyone's going to tackle him. You know, whenever he gets out to the sideline, you know, he's always putting the ball forward, trying to get an extra yard or two. I think he plays, you know, whenever he does escape the pocket, he plays a very smart brand of football where no one really is able to touch him. And if they do get near him, he just slides down and, you know, he saves his body. So that's something that you love to see. Also, his accuracy, too. I think, especially last year, him that being his worst season so far as a pro, and then just the beginning of this year, you know, just trying to get back in the swing of things of playing NFL football. I think, you know, his accuracy is very solid, and it has been ever since he's been a rookie. Him being able to put the ball basically just, you know, right where the receiver can catch it, you know, down the field, you know, in short yardage situations. And the only thing he does have trouble with, and I've said this a bunch before in the past, where is those intermediate routes, you know, in between the hashes, and probably past like 10 yards, you know, between that 10-15 yard mark, those intermediate routes are just always gives him trouble. But I think someone like a Trey McBride helps him in that department. Someone like a Michael Wilson also helps him. And hopefully you get in free agency or the draft a bigger wide receiver that helps him in those intermediate passes. Just because, you know, he is a shorter quarterback and you just need more size. It's not a bad thing, but you just need more size at your receiver's position than what you had before in a 5'9 Hollywood Brown and a 5'8, you know, Rondale Moore and a Greg Dortch. Although I do love Greg Dortch, like I said, you know, I think he's been this year and last year one of the best receivers once you give him a chance in the game. I think he'll fit perfectly in like a slot role for us, you know, have him start there instead of Rondale Moore. I think he gives you so much yards after the catch, and he doesn't go down after the first sign of contact. And he's just one of those guys that no matter what happens, he's always like falling forward for an extra yard or two whenever you get on the ball. So that was one of the main things that I didn't like about the previous regime. But all in all, I think Gannon and Kyler, you know, they're lockstep, you know, they have a little bromance going on. I think both of them really appreciate each other. You know, on Kyler's side, I could appreciate, I see the way he appreciates how Gannon's mentality is and how much he prepares for a game, you know, prepares for being a head coach. And, you know, they talked about it a lot in the offseason whenever Kyler had questions, you know, Gannon had answers for whatever questions he had. And if he didn't have an answer, you know, he told them why they're doing stuff the way they're doing. He always had a reasoning for whatever he was doing. And if he didn't, you know, he was going to go find one if he didn't have an answer for a specific question. And, you know, vice versa, whenever Ganon would talk to Kyler, he would say the same thing. You know, Kyler's always prepared. He's always understanding and trying to figure out, you know, the nuances and the ins and outs of whatever they're doing on defense or on offense or on defense, excuse me. And just both of them really clicked with that, you know, that competitive spirit and the competitive mentality of just, you know, they're the best at what they do and they're going to try and show it week in and week out. Kyler also had his presser about what he was talking about, and he said that there's a lot to look forward to. Only the past couple of weeks, they really hit their stride in the offense, and you could see it ever since. I think it started in that Steelers game where you're able to see the kind of how the future of this offense will go, which is, you know, a heavy run game with James Conner. I think that was the first game too that someone like a Michael Carter really broke out, where you're able to see just a 1-2 punch with James Conner and also having James Conner and then Michael Carter come in, take a few snaps, but also those snaps that he gets, maybe it's like 5-10 run snaps or maybe some in the past, but he's able to get those plays and just make electrifying plays. You know, he's able to make a few guys miss in the open field, and he looks so quick out there in the field. It's great to see have that complimentary back to James Conner. And then, yeah, you have the Steelers game, the 49ers game. I don't think, you know, it was tough just because the 49ers are such a great team. And I've said this so many times that they're just in a league of their own in terms of having great players on the rosters from top to bottom. It was just tough to evaluate. But at the same time, you know, you saw glimpses of how Kyler was able to throw to open guys here and there. And then you have the Eagles game and then just the Seahawks game, where you saw Kyler be more efficient in these past two games. Ever since that halftime going into Philly, you know, he's had a great QB rating. He's had a great completion percentage. You know, he's thrown for a bunch of touchdowns and he has a good feel for what's going on in the game. You know, a lot of under center, which I really appreciate, just because I think the type of athlete that Kyler is, obviously he is short, but him being able to go under center and then just having James Conner as a real threat in the run game, you know, you could do so much things with play action under center. You could have Kyler roll out. And I think that's something that they didn't really tap into under the previous regime, where you had it maybe a few times throughout the year, but whenever you were able to hit it, it felt like an amazing play just because no one expected it. Kyler was either able to run for 10, 15 yards, or he hit someone down the field for another 20, 25 yards. And every time they had play action, it was always a great play that happened, but you just never saw it too often, which sucked, but you're able to see it more now. Kyler was also asked about the complete 180 with this team, and he said it was refreshing to have the team, you know, change their mentality and their mindset, you know, just as a whole. And he also said it starts from the top to bottom, you know, someone like Amani Asenfor, like Jonathan Gannon, like Drew Petzing and Nick Rallis, you know, those leaders in the coaching staff in the front office that share the same mentality that trickles down all the way to the players is something that's just really a stark difference from the previous regime to this one. And just seeing it throughout the whole season this past year is just great to see, just because, like I said, they never gave up no matter what happened. It did look like that Chicago game that they were going to give up. That first quarter, it just looked like they just did not come ready to play. And that could have been just on coaches. That could have been, you know, just going to Chicago. You know, it was a bad weather game, but it looked crazy that first quarter, that first half. But other than that, I feel like no matter what happened, you could turn on the tape and against the Seahawks, against the Eagles, you could do it against the 49ers, against the Rams, or all the way, you know, week one to week two against the Commanders and the Giants. If you put all those tapes up, you wouldn't be able to tell, you know, what week it is. You wouldn't be able to tell, you know, if they're in the playoffs, if they're out of the playoffs, if they have a winning record, if they don't, just because they play hard each and every week. And that's something that every team strives to do, but a lot of teams aren't able to make it happen. And with this team, you know, you had everyone buy into Jonathan Gannon. I think, you know, just as soon as he came into the building, obviously, you know, some stuff on social media, you guys saw that he looked a little quote unquote goofy, but the players really bought in, especially in training camp. You saw everyone playing hard, and that really just showed throughout the whole season, which is a credit to Gannon and his coaching staff that just being there and being able to coach him hard every single week, no matter what happens, just showed out on game day on Sundays. And that's just something great to see. And also when Kyler was talking about the complete 180 with the team, he was kind of laughing about it. He doesn't really talk about the previous regime, obviously, because right now it has nothing to do with that. But, you know, he was laughing about it and just, you know, you could tell he wanted to say some things and some things probably popped up into his head, but he just didn't say anything. He just smiled and said it was really refreshing. So that was great to see. He also said that this is one of his favorite teams to ever be a part of. And he kind of emphasized that with a team that had no complaining, you know, no players complained throughout the whole season, no matter if they were in and out of the playoffs, if they're playing good or not, if they're getting the ball or not. They kept grinding and kept playing hard. So basically just everything, like I just said, you know, he basically reemphasized that just this team's mentality of just never quitting, just stayed throughout the whole season. You know, he kind of took a back seat in the beginning of the season where he was just rehabbing on his own off to the sideline. He's able to see the mentality of the team. You know, I think he had a great perspective of seeing this team from the sidelines and how they prepare each and every day going into game week for those first 8 to 10 weeks of the season. And then, you know, in the middle too, he also saw, you know, preparing for the game. Maybe he wasn't the starter back in week 7, week 8, week 9. But he saw every single player on that team prepared like if they're starters, and him doing the same thing. Just, I think it really just showed the team, you know, obviously, you know, in my eyes, I think Kyler is a great quarterback and I think he does amazing things on the field and he's a great leader. But, you know, for him being on the pup list and just practicing for those first like 4 or 5 weeks when he was designated to return, and just him being able to show that to everyone on the team, I think was a great way to show everyone, just because this team, a lot of the people are new. They didn't play, you know, in 2021, much less in 2020. And them being able to see like the type of athlete and the type of competitor he is week in and week out, him going to work and just showing that he is a franchise quarterback. I think it was someone like a Paris Johnson, I think, said it maybe like around week 8 or 9. I have to go look it up. But he said when Kyler was practicing with the ones, I think it was one of the first times he took reps with the ones, he said, "Does it look like that all the time?" I think he told like DJ Humphries, or someone told DJ Humphries. I think it might have been one of the rookie guards. I think maybe like a Carter O'Donnell or something like that. And he said, "Yeah, you know, it looks like that every week. You know, the way he throws the ball, the way he's able to pinpoint accuracy on a lot of his throws, you know, it looks like that week in and week out. Obviously, he has down weeks and he has better weeks. But most of the time, he shows you that he is a great passer. You know, his accuracy is off the charts, and he just needs a system to complement it, obviously, like any other quarterback. But just getting this team up to the point where you're able to compete with everyone is just something that you hope to see in 2024.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
So that was basically Gannon and Kyler, what they talked about post-game. I think you're going to have Gannon talk Monday about just the end of the season. Maybe you have Kyler talk, but who knows what's going to happen. So basically with the game recap, just going over the offense and the defense, so starting off the offense, I think the offense moved the ball great outside of the first quarter. It just felt like, you know, throughout the whole game, the Cardinals were just the better team all in all. Obviously, you had guys making great plays, like a Tyler Lockett, you know, he went off against this team. Like, he pretty much always does go off against us no matter what happens. It's always like Tyler Lockett having 200, 150 yards and just crazy amount of yards against us. It's crazy to see, especially when Russ was there. It just always felt like they're going to hit a 40, 50 yard touchdown bomb just to steal the game. But, you know, I think the offense moved great. Like I said before, the running with James Conner, you know, obviously you wanted James Conner to get 1,000 rushing yards this season. He had probably 80 rushing yards before the half, and you knew that they were going to try and get him those 110 yards. He finished with 150, which was great. 150 is a new career high in rushing yards for him. I looked it up in the fourth quarter. I think his previous high was 146, around there, 145. And that was his two highest rushing games were with the Steelers about like 3 or 4 years ago. I think it was 140 yards rushing and then the 145, 146 yards. But he has a new career high in rushing yards. You know, all the compliments, all the blessings to James Conner. He is going into his 29-year-old season, which for a running back, it's crazy to see, just because, you know, at this point, everyone talks about, you know, the age 30 season, you know, late 20s, you know, 29, 30, 31, that, you know, running backs are going to, you know, fall off a cliff and you're not going to have that athleticism with him. But I think with James Conner, you've seen that ever since he got here, you know, 2-3 years ago, he's gotten better every single year. And I think this offense, the offense that Drew Petsing wants to run, that I've talked about many times, where it's similar to, you know, the Browns offense, the 49ers offense, a little mixture of the Eagles offense with like the type of running schemes that they do. I think James Conner is going to have a great, you know, season next year. And I don't see any sign of him slowing down. Obviously, I think he is going to miss games just because that's what it's been ever since he started taking meaningful snaps for the Steelers. I think he's missed at least like 3-4 games every year. But outside of that, I think, you know, if you're able to get someone like a third string back that's sort of similar to James Conner's style, you know, a bigger back that kind of helps in the goal line situations, you hope Michael Carter is back next season. He plays exactly the same. Hopefully, you know, he does get a larger role. But with James Conner, you know, you do expect him to miss a few games in the season. But overall, I think him being in this offense is going to be great for next year. And just having him with Kyler, you know, I think an underrated aspect of having James Conner on this team is just the type of leader James Conner is. You know, he's not the type of guy that's really just a loud guy, a really verbal guy. Whenever he does his interviews in the post game, he's always, you know, he doesn't really say much. He just says, you know, the team played great. You know, I want to praise God, and you know, I just want to help this team win. And that's basically what he does every single game. And he, you know, his touchdown celebrations are always, you know, the him, you know, going on his knees and just praying. And it's great to have him, someone like that, next to Kyler, just because I think Kyler is also really like soft-spoken type of guy, where he's not going to say much, but, you know, both of them understand each other on the field. And him being sort of like a similar type of leader to Kyler, I think is great to see. You know, you have someone like a DJ Humphries who's a louder guy, someone like hopefully in the future, like a Paris Johnson, who's also, you know, a louder, outspoken guy. And just having someone like that being one of the leaders on this offense and this team as a whole is great to see. It was also his first 1,000-yard rushing season, which is great to see, especially having his first 1,000 rushing yard season with this new regime. I think it just shows how much different this team is than 2 years before. Obviously, he's been close. He's had 8, 7, you know, 900 yards rushing. I think probably every season. I don't think he's been any less or any more than that. But having him in this new offense, showing them that they could run this style of offense, and it seems like they could run on pretty much anyone. It looked like no matter what happened, if you're playing the 49ers, if you're playing the Eagles, you're playing the Steelers, you're playing the Rams, you're playing, just no matter who was out there, it just always seemed like we're getting 100 yards damn near by James Conner. You know, we're getting 200 yards as a whole rushing as a team. And something like that is just great to see. It reminds me of Kyle Shanahan, where it's like, you know, everyone says, you know, Shanahan's going to run the ball and you're going to try and stop it, but you're not going to be able to stop it. He's going to just have, no matter who's out there, rush for 100, 200 yards. And just as a whole, you're going to just, they're always going to run the ball. You're going to try and stop it, but you can't. So that's something that I look forward to with this offense. You know, people saying that the Cardinals are going to run the ball regardless. And, you know, you're going to try and stop it, but you can't. And then you also have Kyler Murray. He's able to run the ball. He's able to pass the ball. So just having that type of offense where you truly just can't stop one thing, like running the ball, and then you're going to have to just deal with Kyler Murray through the air. Trey McBride through the air, you know, Michael Wilson through the air. It's going to be just great to see defenses try and stop it. And hopefully next year we do take that large leap into, you know, playoff contention. Like, you know, going off of what I said, Trey McBride, Michael Wilson, they also had solid games. I think Michael Wilson, you know, he had a breakout game with Kyler Murray, which is great to see. He had 6 catches for 95 yards. And just him, you know, that Steelers game, I don't think he had a catch against the 49ers. He maybe had one catch. And against the Eagles, he had that missed route with him. So it's just great to finish the season with a strong game with Michael Wilson and Kyler Murray. I think both of them going into next season, I think through the offseason, you're going to see them training a lot together. You're going to see them working out a bunch together just to get that chemistry and connection right. But having Michael Wilson finish the season strong, you know, against the Eagles, against the Seahawks now with these yards, it's going to go well for 2024. He's going to have that confidence going into next season that's saying, like, oh, yeah, like, I have a quarterback that could get me the ball, and I just need to, you know, stay healthy, which is one of the knocks that he's had, you know, especially this season, too. He had, I think it was like a neck shoulder injury, but then also that took him out for a couple of weeks. And then just, I think he hit a rookie wall, too. Just like I said in the previous podcast, these rookies, they play up until their last season in college, you know, going through spring ball, going through the whole season, and then going through draft, and then starting the NFL season. You don't really get a break, you know, as a rookie. So some people, their energy just runs out just because they've been training their body so hard for a year plus. And now the rookies, now they're finally getting a chance to get a mini break before, you know, training hard again and going into the off season. So him, I think finishing great finishing strong is just great to see. Someone like a Trey McBride, he didn't do too well this game. You know, he had a few misses. You know, I think he had a drop. He finished the game off for 3 catches for 34 yards, which, you know, is nowhere near the type of performance Trey McBride can be. But I think it was just the Seahawks just being the Seahawks, and they just weren't able to get, you know, they're always going to take away something. And, you know, this time it was Trey McBride. I think Kyler did target him, I think 6 or 7 times. He just wasn't there that game. You know, it's tough. He doesn't have that confidence, I think, just off of this game going into next season. But as a whole, he did have a breakout season. I think he had 700-800 yards. And hopefully next year, I think he might be a Pro Bowl alternate just because of the Lions, Sam LaPorta. He hurt his knee or something like that during the last week of the season. So hopefully, you know, Trey McBride goes in as an alternate. I think that would be great for him just to get more exposure for him. And then him going to 2024, him having that confidence of hopefully getting 1,000 yards. I think only one other tight end in Cardinals history has had 1,000 yards receiving. And hopefully Trey McBride, I think that was back in the 80s or maybe even the 60s. But hopefully Trey McBride could be one of the better tight ends in this conference, in this league. And just him being only 23, 24 years old is great. Buda Baker also had a solid game. He had 10 tackles, which was the most on the team. He almost had that pick, and I think all of us thought he had the pick. You know, if you guys follow me on Twitter or you guys follow the podcast, you know, I think I talked about it last one or the podcast before, where, you know, I just said Buda Baker. You know, I tweeted out there that Buda Baker doesn't really take the ball away. You know, he's a great tackler in the open field, but he doesn't really make those game-changing plays like other top safeties. I said that you probably should have traded him before the season when he asked for the trade, but I understand him being like the heart and soul of this defense, the reason why you didn't want to trade him, just because if you lost Hopkins, if you lost J.J. Watt, you lost like a Byron Murphy, Zach Allen, and also losing a Buda Baker, it would have been tough to overcome that, just because he's such a face of this team. So, you know, I'm glad that we didn't trade him. Obviously, you know, it's better to be a year early than a year late on a lot of players. I think, you know, someone like a Bill Belichick showed that a bunch, where, you know, he moved off of guys just at the right time before they started to decline. Maybe they went off to another team and had a great solid season. But most of the time, you know, after, you know, Bill Belichick gets rid of someone, they usually, you know, start declining. So hopefully Buda Baker doesn't decline. Hopefully he's able to take the ball away more next season with a better defense around him. But, you know, him finishing the season strong, you know, like I said, this has been a down year for him, but he still made the Pro Bowl. He still hopefully is going to get consideration for maybe like an All-Pro. Although with the lack of stats, I don't think he'll he'll make it, but at the same time, he's been having a solid season. Hope someone like him and Jalen Thompson just continue to have a great dynamic safety room going into 2024. And also adding someone like a Garrett Williams who plays a slot, and with them three sort of, you know, transitioning depending on how the offense looks. You know, sometimes Garrett Williams plays like a safety. Sometimes Jalen Thompson comes in and plays a slot corner. So just really switching out those three guys in the middle of the field is something that you hope to see in the future, with just better pass rushers, better corners that's able to just help them, you know, just reach that next level of being, for Garrett Williams, maybe a Pro Bowl, for Buddha getting back to the All-Pro stats, for Jalen Thompson getting to an All-Pro Pro Bowl nominations. There was no sacks or anything that was close to like changing the game. Is like I said, it's been at this point probably 2 months or a little over 2 months that we had a sack, a nice sack, not one of the ones where like the quarterback is running off to the sidelines and you push him out of bounds and it's technically a sack. But you know, we had no sacks. But Dennis Gardeck, you know, he played great. Besides the one play where he just lost the ball in coverage, but you know, he had a solid season. He had a solid game. I think Zabin, both of them were really close to sacking Geno. I think a few times they just missed him by a second. You know, Geno does get the ball out quick, which is tough to see as someone that just wants to see, you know, us get a sack. But I think with that group, you hopefully add an alpha guy in there in free agency or the draft, and just, I think if you stick with Zabin and Dennis Gardeck and someone like a Cameron Thomas, hopefully he does great in the offseason to be active on Sundays, or maybe someone like a Victor Dumakeji who's played solid these past couple of games. You know, with those group of guys, and also just adding like a vet, an alpha, a dog out there on the edge, I think would be great just to give less pressure on Zabin and Gardeck and everyone else in there. Like I said, I think the defense as a whole plays solid. The Seahawks offense is explosive. You have Kenneth Walker, you have DK Metcalf, you have Tyler Lockett, you have Jake Bobo. In the beginning was going off. You have someone like a Jackson Smith who played great. So just this defense playing solid without the, you know, I say this every week, but just playing a lot better than what it looks like on paper. It's just a credit to the coaches. And also, one last thing before I leave, Prater, you know, he did miss those two field goals at the end. You know, a lot of people were kind of bashing him online. But, you know, whatever happens, I don't think, you know, I kind of joke about this, that Monty made a boss call and just told him to miss the field goals, or Biddle made a boss call. But all in all, I think just Prater, just, you know, he had a bad day. And maybe he was mentally checked out. He didn't think he was going to kick the field goal. You know, it is the last game of the season. Just anything could happen. But all in all, Prater comes back next year. You have no worries at the kicker position. He's one of the best kickers that we've had in a while. And hopefully he just gets better with age and he's able to play for so many more years to come, just because you have someone like a weapon like Prater. Like, no matter what happens, if you're at the 50, you're able to make a field goal, it just feels like, with Prater. And if you're just able to pass the 50, it just feels like it's automatic with Prater. So hopefully, you know, everything is good on that front. He comes back, he doesn't retire. And I think, you know, after the game, he was kind of sad, saying that, you know, that's why he gets paid. He gets paid to make those kicks. But all in all, I think, you know, him missing those kicks gave us that fourth overall pick. And, you know, in all reality, I think ultimately we're probably going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, if all goes well, I think those first three, you know, with the Chicago, with Washington, New England, I think they're all going to take quarterbacks. I saw a lot of people talking about that, where it's Caleb, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, and then whoever is remaining for that third overall pick. And the Cardinals are sitting there, fourth overall, happy with whoever is remaining there. So that's pretty much it that I have for you guys. We are going to be doing these podcasts, hopefully just going over if any breaking news happens, free agency stuff. Maybe we go over a few different free agents, kind of break that down. Draft season is coming up. We'll see where Monty takes his visits. The Senior Bowl is coming up, the Combine. So a lot of exciting things happening for 2024 and beyond. And like I said, you know, last week, I really appreciate all you guys listening to me. Like, subscribe, you know, give the podcast a 5-star, you know, review it, what you guys like, what you guys don't like. DM me if you guys want me to talk about anything specific. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.